I would invite your attention this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 17. We're going to focus for the next 3 weeks upon Thanksgiving, being thankful. We have a lot to be thankful for. We're coming upon that season which we should be reminded how good God is. Before we get into the message, I would like to say thank you to Brother Greg for filling in last week for me. I did listen online, and Brother Michael Sunday night did a wonderful job, and I appreciate them so much and appreciate the opportunity that the church allow me to get away for a little while and just have a little time off. Beth and I had a wonderful time, and we appreciate you understanding. But we are so glad to be back home. And so today, it is a joy to worship with you again. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we bow before your throne asking for your guidance as we look into your word today. Father, I pray that you speak through me, that this message be your message, that you will open ears and open hearts to receive your word today, and that, Lord, lives will be changed through the preaching of your word. Lord, I love you, and we just praise you, because you are God, there is none other. In the name of Jesus, we ask, amen. All right. Are you thankful? I think it's safe to say that probably all of us could be a little better at giving thanks than we are. Today we meet 10 men. 10 men. 9 of which had a Thanksgiving problem. All of these men are in need. They all had leprosy. They were all healed of that leprosy, yet only one man expressed thanksgiving. And my question at this point would be, why? Why would it only be one man that would come back and say, "Thank you, Jesus"? Well, I hope that we can answer that question, because as I look at our culture today and where we are as a nation, I see a people who have more than any people in the past that we've ever known. We enjoy a higher quality of life that has ever been enjoyed by any. Yet we're probably the least thankful of any generation ever before. And I ask myself once again, why? Why is that? So today we're going to answer the question, where are the 9? Why did they not come back? And we begin with their condition. Of course, these men had leprosy. Leprosy was a horrible, nasty skin condition that it was like a cancer on the outside, for lack of a better way to put it. It would cause your limbs to become numb. And so people would injure themselves and not even know it because they couldn't feel anything. And so infection would set in and the disease would progress, and it was just a horrible, horrible disease. And it was a death sentence, basically. As a result of having leprosy, you were not allowed to be around anybody else except other lepers. The priest would set the distance, but one distance, according to historians, that had been set by the priest was you had to remain 100 steps away from anybody else. Can you imagine? That took you away from family. That took you away from friends. That took you away from society in general. And that even with that separation, you would still declare yourself, if you saw people coming, you would say, unclean, unclean. Which is, don't come near me. I'm fatal. A lonely, dark disease. And there was no help. So these gentlemen, having this condition, of course, did the only thing that they could do, and that was cry out to Jesus. As Jesus entered their area, they cried out, Master, have mercy. Master, we know that you can do something about this. Nobody else can do anything about our condition, but we know that you are, that word master literally means commander. We know that you are in charge. You see, they had heard about Jesus before. They knew his ability. And they knew that at his word, they could be delivered from this horrible, horrible condition. So that was, of course, their cry. Jesus, have mercy on us. And that word mercy is interesting. We think of mercy as being something that you don't deserve. And it is, but this Greek word actually goes a little farther. It means to care, to have compassion for. So what they're crying out is, Jesus, will you please just care about me? Will you do something? Will you care enough to help me and deliver me from this horrible disease? Well, we all know that Jesus cares, right? But I mean, really caring means Jesus is going to do something about it. So it brings us to the command. In an act of compassion, Jesus, seeing their condition, yells out to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. You see, for them to be certified clean, to enter back into society, to go back to their family, they had to be declared clean by a priest. And so Jesus just says, hey, no problem, go show yourself to the priest. Out of these 10 men, or all of these 10 men trusted Jesus enough at this point to turn and go to the priest and leave the presence of Jesus. Now, I point that out to you because it is important. All right? All of these 10 men believed that Jesus could help them. And so when Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest, that was a word of encouragement for them. They said, okay, this is going to work. If they didn't believe that they were going to be healed by the time they got there, they'd have never left. Because what good would it do to go show themselves to the priest and the priest look at them and say, what are you doing? You know you're not healed. So there were 10 men that had faith in the ability of Jesus Christ. 10 men turned to head toward their temple for the Jews of that day. It would have been Jerusalem for the Samaritans. It would have been Shechem, about 25 miles north of Jerusalem. See, the Samaritans and the Jews had two different temples. As Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, they say, nothing's happened yet, but here we go. And they left. And they left in faith. All 10 of them left believing. And the reason I say that is I want you to understand that all of 10 men believed that Jesus could help. All 10 men had faith in Jesus' abilities. But I want to ask you at this point of the message, I want to ask you, is a simple belief enough? You see, James tells us you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So I want to lay this out there before you today. You can believe, you can acknowledge Jesus Christ, but that does not mean you have exercised a saving faith in Jesus Christ. All 10 men had faith, but one man had a different faith. One man saw as they're traveling that he looked down and he saw, wow, I'm healed. And he turned around to go back to Jesus and to confess Jesus, proclaim Jesus. And he made a confession as a passionate man. It says he glorified God with a loud voice. What's he doing? That word glorified, it means to influence the opinion of other people to enhance God's reputation. When we talk about giving God the glory, the idea behind that is just not making a useless noise or singing a useless song. The idea behind that is that I want you to understand how awesome my God was or is. This man, as he's traveling, he sees he's healed and he comes back and he's glorifying God. He has the purpose, the passionate purpose of, I want the whole world to know what an awesome God I serve. I can hear his testimony. His testimony would have been something like this. I was living a death sentence. My arms, my hands were numb. My skin was white and scaly. I couldn't be near my family. I couldn't be near my friends. I could not even go into the temple because I was declared unclean. I was living a death sentence. But let me tell you what my God did. My God sent this man Jesus, his son, who told me to go show myself to the priest. And on my way, I looked down and the numbness had left. The white skin, the infections, it was gone. And I realized at that point, I'm no longer a leper. I've been delivered. And so today I stand before you to tell you the power of God, of the God that I serve. He can do anything. Something like that would have been his confession. Can you imagine? As I think about where we are in this Thanksgiving season, let me just remind you, have you bragged on your God lately? You want to be thankful? You're going to have to back up and brag about your God a little bit. Things in this life that I appreciate, the people that I appreciate, I brag on. It's kind of like grandkids, you know. I'm glad to brag on my grandkids. Why? Because I love them. Well, let me tell you, today I'm glad to brag about my God because I love Him. Let me tell you what my God did for me when I was 8 years old. I was attending a revival in Griffithville, Arkansas. I got down on my knees and asked Jesus to save me. And He did. That's my God. When I was a young man in the Air Force, God called me to preach. And I said, no, God's not for me. Thank you very much. I'll go another way. But God continued to lead and to direct and say, come on, come on, come on. I'm calling. No, Lord, I know how those church people are. I don't want to do that. Till finally I said, wherever you lead, Lord, my life is yours. And you know what? I went from having a life that wasn't worth living to a good life because of the glorious God that I serve. Oh, there's been times that I've been afraid. My God's always been there. There's been times that I didn't know what to do. God always carried me through. There's been times of sickness, death of loved ones and other things that I've gone through. The only reason, as looking back, I know that I got through is because my God carried me through. Listen, if you never count your blessings, you'll never be thankful. So that's the first challenge I want to give you today. Think about where you are and what God has brought you through. That's what this man was doing, is he was glorifying and he was bragging on his God. And not only did he glorify God, it says he fell down on his face giving thanks to Jesus, expressing his appreciation. And I want you to understand that word thanks, the idea is not just an acknowledgement. It is an acknowledgement with the idea of an obligation or indebtedness. You see, you can't truly be thankful until you realize that you owe somebody. Did you think about that? For this man, he owed Jesus something that he could never repay. That there's no getting back, you know, there's no giving back. So all I can do is get down on my knees and bow at the feet of Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, thank you. You gave me my life back. You've done what no one else could do. And there's no way I can repay this debt, Jesus. So I just fall at your feet to worship and to say thank you." You know, at this point, I find it very sad that in churches today, you don't see people kneeling anymore. Have you noticed that? We think that the altar has this thing that if you've been really, really bad, you come into a church, you get on your knees down there at the altar, and you repent of your sin, you get up and you forget. That's not what kneeling's about. That's only a fraction of what kneeling's about. You see, kneeling is about surrendering yourself before a God to whom you owe everything. We as a nation, the United States of America, were built on the foundation and principles of the fear of God. We were built upon the principles in the Word of God. And today, we have turned away from the very God that built this country. Because we've quit kneeling. We've quit bowing down and saying thank you. Do you realize? Do you realize that false religions kneel? The Muslim religion. 3 times a day they get on their knees. And Christians look at it like, what? Buddhists, they get on their knees before a statue. And we look at it like, huh? Listen, if you want to be thankful, you'll do it at the feet of Jesus. On your knees. So this idea that I've been a really bad person, so I go to the altar, okay? That's not the only reason you go to the altar. You go to the altar, just say, "Thank you, Jesus. I want to bow and I can't ever repay you. The only thing I can do is bow at your feet and say, Lord, I love you. Thank you. Thank you." And it brings us to the question. This man comes back praising God. I mean, pouring out his praise before God and Jesus. And Jesus sees this guy and he says, "Wait a minute. We're not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Why are they not thankful? Don't they realize what Jesus did for them? Don't they realize that Jesus gave them their life back? Don't they realize that if it were not for Jesus, they would still be in that leper colony? Don't they know?" And the answer to that is yes, they knew. They knew they owed Jesus. But their problem was, the only reason they wanted Jesus was to get what they could get from Jesus. Does that make sense? They didn't want a Messiah. They didn't even want a Savior. They didn't want a King of Kings or a Lord of Lords. All they wanted was their life back. They wanted to be able to go be with their family again. They wanted to be able to go into the temple again. To conduct business from day to day again. You know, it's one of those, Jesus, please give me. But Jesus, just give me my life back. They got what they wanted. They got their normal life. It's at this point that I've got to ask the question. What do you want from Jesus? Let's get more personal. Why do you want Jesus to deliver us from the challenges that we face today? Example, COVID-19. Why do you want Jesus to deliver us from this terrible disease? Is it so that you don't have to wear masks anymore? I'll be honest with you, I hate wearing masks. Has nothing to do with, is it, you know, do they work, don't they work? And you hear, it has not. I just hate wearing the things. You know, when I look at people, I think, I can't read the expression on your face. And you know, I walk through Walmart and I'm I always try to smile at people. And hello, they can't see me smile through the mask, you know. And I can't see them, the expression on their face through the mask. And you know, I don't like masks. Boy, I'd really like for us to be able to get back where we don't have to wear them anymore. But why? Why do I want to be delivered? So I don't have to practice social distancing. I'll tell you something I miss in our church. And we try to be reasonable. But I did really enjoy, right in the beginning of service, we'd have that welcome song and people would go around and shake hands and hug necks and all that. And boy, I miss that. Now, I understand why we're not doing it, and it's where we are right now. But I miss that. I'd like to get back to that. But why? Why do you want to be delivered from COVID-19? So we don't have to worry about it, and we can have football and basketball and all the sports that we had a year ago. So we can get back to a normal life? Is that why you want to be delivered? Well, here's my challenge. Let's evaluate normal. I'm going to get real personal, but I want you to know I'm personal out of love, okay? Let's evaluate your normal. For those watching via the internet, you stay with me here. For those in the balcony, for those on the floor, let's be honest. Let's evaluate our normal life. What role does God play in your daily walk? Where does God fit in? Do you faithfully attend church? Well, Doug, I'm more of a Sunday morning kind of guy. That's your normal? That's the best you've got for the God that created you? What's your normal? Do you give God the glory so others can know what an awesome God you serve? Or do you walk down the street and somebody says, "Hi, how are you today?" And you say, "What's it to you?" Do you have a daily prayer life? Not a wish list. Not a wish list. A prayer life. Where you talk to God because you love God. And
You need that fellowship. Do you spend time every day in the Word of God? Is that your normal? Because you have a hunger for the Word of God, and do you apply the Word of God? You know the parts where God says, where Jesus said, love your enemies? Do you do that? Do you love your enemies? Well, now, Brother Doug, we're all sinners. Don't make excuse. I asked you a question. Let's be serious. What's normal? Do you witness? Listen, if your life does not reflect an appreciation and obligation toward God, something's missing. Something's missing. Could it be? Could it be that Jesus is just a crutch for you? So that you can get what you want, so you can live like you want to live. What was the deal with the 9 who didn't come back? They got what they wanted. You see, so many people see God and religion and Jesus as a Santa Claus. Lord, these are the things that I wish for. Please give them to me. They don't understand. True Christianity is a life change. Consider verse 19. And you'll find out why 9 didn't come back. And Jesus said to him, to the one, arise. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. To put it in more understandable translation, it literally says, your faith has saved you. That's what it says. Your faith has saved you. 10 men cried out. 10 men had leprosy. 10 men said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And 10 men were healed. And one man heard the words, your faith has saved you. 9 men went their way and they were lost as they could be. Oh, they were religious. That's why they're going back to their temple. But they had no relationship. Oh, they would have said, yes, I believe Jesus. But they couldn't say, Jesus was the Lord of my life. You see the problem? The problem is described in James chapter 2. And I want to read this with you. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is, what is that word? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. And you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 20. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That means you don't have the real deal. You want to know why people aren't thankful today? It's a dead faith. what they have is not real. You want to know why you have to beg people to go to church today? But they don't, you know, they don't want to come to give glory to God. It's because what many of them have is a dead faith. It's not real. My challenge to you today, I'm not here to cause you to question anything, but at the same time, if you're here, the Bible says that you can know them by their fruits. A living faith, there is evidence of that faith. Is there evidence? Is there evidence? Or do you have a dead faith? You say, well, I believe I believe in Jesus. Do you? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the Savior? Is He your Messiah? Is He your King? If not, you're like the nine. Oh, you want to call on Him when you get in trouble. But once He provides what you need, you put Him back on the shelf. And don't concern yourself with Him anymore until the next time you're in trouble. You want to know why our country is like it is? There are a great number of people who will acknowledge God but have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. You want to experience thanksgiving? First, you've got to understand where your blessings come from. And you've got to have a saving faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who gave His life upon Calvary for your sins and for mine. And I'm not talking about did you walk down an aisle. I'm not talking about did you get in the baptistry. Not even talking about is your name on the church roll. I'm talking about, is Jesus your Savior, your King, your Lord, your Messiah? And if He is, listen, you know how to give thanks. If He's not, you'll never experience the thanksgiving that you should until you know where your blessings come from. Are you a child of God? I'll be honest with you. I think, excuse me. I think one of the greatest problems in churches today, we're filled with the nine. They don't want a life change. They want somebody to fill a wish list. They've never, never truly given themselves to Jesus Christ. This is where you've got to decide which one you're going to be. Are you going to be the one? Are you going to be the one that bows at the feet of Jesus? Says, thank you. Are you going to be the nine that walk out of here the same way that you came in? If you choose the route of the nine, I want to tell you something. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We'll all stand before the Lord one day. And there is a heavenly record called the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name's not written in that Lamb's Book of Life, you just know you're not going to heaven. You're not. So today, I ask you, let's start Thanksgiving. Let's make this Thanksgiving month. And if you don't know you're saved, today's the day. Get it right. Come back. If you do know that you're saved, let the thanksgiving begin. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life upon Calvary for our sins. Heavenly Father, we need You today. We know that every gift is a blessing from You. Every good thing we owe to You. And so today we want to be the one. We don't want to be the nine that just forget where blessings come from. But Lord, for those who are not truly saved, their name may be on the church roll, but they've never made You the Lord of their life. Oh, I pray today that You will convict and draw them to You. I pray today that we will all experience the thanksgiving that's worthy of You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.